RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Her Radio, starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek, on RadioMD.
All right, raise your hand out there. If you are a woman listening to Her Radio right now and you think you have unrealistic expectations of your sex life. Uh-huh. Just what I thought. Well, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and we're going to be talking about this issue with Rachel Hills, who is the author of The Sex Myth: The Gap Between Our Fantasies and Reality. She's a New York-based feminist journalist and author of The Sex Myth. In addition to all of her wonderful blogs and work in national publications like Cosmo and The New Republic and BuzzFeed and heaven knows what else. So, Rachel, welcome to Her Radio. Boy, do I want to talk about this. And
Excellent.
So does everyone else. So what is this? Why do you think so many people have these unrealistic expectations of sex life?
Well, I think it's partly because we live in a society where we talk about sex almost constantly, or at least I do with my friends, which is part of why I decided to write the book. But although we talk about sex all the time, we tend to talk about it in the abstract. So we talk about it in a kind of light, jokey way. We refer to sex without revealing anything that's going on in our actual lives. So there's a lot of privacy that surrounds sex, perhaps in some cases for good reason, but it means that people don't really know what's going on with others. And thus, we get our images from the media and from, you know, those vague conversations rather than from, you know, actual facts.
And so basically we have Hollywood expectations of, you know, mad, passionate love that goes on for the full 40 years we're married.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Seriously. I mean, all right. So we're going to bag the Hollywood thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just get real. So help us get real, Rachel. What is real?
Well, I think the thing is there's no one idea of what real is. So we're sold this monolithic idea of what sex should look like. So we're told that if you're in a relationship, you should be doing it 2 to 3 times a week, that you need to be keeping the passion alive, that you need to make sure you're doing it in all sorts of interesting ways because you don't want to bore your partner or, God forbid, bore yourself. Or, you know, if you're single, you're also told that, I guess if you're a woman, you probably shouldn't be having too much sex, but you also shouldn't not be sexually active either. So we've sold this kind of single story about what sex life looks like, but I guess the thing with reality is that real looks like 1,000 different ways. There are as many different reals as there are people.
Well, when do you think you're running into problems? I mean, I was reading in the Huffington Post about a woman, an author, who talked about her 17-year marriage, just about ready to come up on an anniversary, and mm-hmm. she hasn't had sex in a year or two, and, you know, has a good relationship with the guy, and they're wonderful parents to kids and whatever, but, you know, is this wrong? Part of it was she said she doesn't feel as attractive because mm-hmm. she's not having sex. I mean, what's that about?
Well, that's the thing. We're taught that how often, and, you know, the way that we have sex, we're taught that it is this measure of our attractiveness. So it's understandable that if someone wasn't in a relationship that was sexual at that point, that they would doubt themselves on that level. And I think also that kind of sensual and sexual interaction are also really important to people, to most people in their relationships. We want to touch our partners, we want to feel pleasure with them, and we want that to happen to us in return. But that doesn't necessarily have to happen in the form of what we think of as being sex, which is something that is so narrow. So the idea of putting a penis in a vagina, and that's how we measure the intimacy of a relationship. But was she happy in her relationship?
So you know something? What was interesting is the way it ended was, you know, she, other than the fact that she was questioning what's real, what mm-hmm. Is she in trouble? Is there some metric that she should be measured against? Quite frankly, she had a great relationship with a guy and mm-hmm. they have a good life. They just don't have sex.
Yeah.
You know?
And they may well still, for all I know, they may well touch every day and, you know, be connecting on a sensual level, or maybe they're not and they're okay with that.
You know, and I think that that's such a great an interesting point, because I think that because we don't talk about it, because we only see whatever's going on in Hollywood, people don't know whether, you know, what they're going through is normal or abnormal. And therefore, they have these unrealistic expectations of a 50 Shades of Grey kind of wild and crazy adventure here, you know. And I'm, please, God, make that book go away. But, you know, at the end of the day, how do you really define normal? How do you sit down with yourself saying, you know, I'm happy or I'm not happy, when nobody seems to be able to talk about it? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think maybe normal is the wrong question, and normal can mean so many different things. So often when we ask, is this normal? What we're really asking is, am I okay? Am I okay the way I am? Is my relationship okay? Is my life okay? Am I a valuable person? But then we conflate that with the idea of what's normal, say, statistically. So we want to know, how often are other people doing it, or what are they doing, and am I matching up to those? And I think that to some extent those are different questions. So if at the root what you're looking for when you ask, am I normal, is am I okay, then the answer to that question is, to some degree, well, what are you okay with? Are you happy in your relationship, or are you happy not being in a relationship, even if your sex and romantic life doesn't look like what you think it ought to look like?
I think that that's a really, really important point. Something occurs to me while I was listening to you, because you're so great about, you know, really bring us down to reality here on this whole thing, this issue of what's normal, what's not. It's not even the right question, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's important when two people are in a relationship to have really great communication about this. Maybe
yeah.
They're both okay without having some mad, passionate, wild and crazy time. Or maybe one's okay and once not, and maybe it's time to start having a conversation. So
yeah.
I think communication is huge. What do you think, Rachel?
I agree that communication is huge, and I think that it can be scary to communicate on this topic, because it is so secretive in our society, and it is so fraught, because we feel like if we're doing it the wrong way, then it's just something terrible about us, about our desirability, about our relationship, about our health. But I think that the only way to have a good sex life, no matter what that good sex life looks like for you and for whoever you're having sex with, is to talk about what it is that you want, whether you're happy with it, whether you're not happy with it, what you would like to try, what you definitely do not want to try. Those kinds of questions.
Well, I think that there's, you know, this whole topic, you know, is fraught with shame.
Yeah.
And, you know, this whole issue of just bringing it up at all, like especially with women, like I even have a need, you know, I have needs, right? You're
mm-hmm.
saying, and you need to be able to communicate that, you know, freely. And I think that that's really huge. And to get out of the shame place, and to be able to freely talk about it, and not feel, so timid and shy. Also, there's body shaming. There's function shaming. You know, some guys are having issues, right? All those
yes.
little pills. And some women are not happy with their bodies. It's almost like that weird thing about, I have to get in really good shape before I go to the gym, right?
Yeah.
So I don't look bad. Well, it's sort of like, turn off all the lights so you don't have to see me, and you're kind of living your own body shame. What do you think about
that? Because I think we're told that only certain types of people are attractive.
Right.
To people with certain types of bodies, certain types of faces, and that if you look that particular way, then lots of people will be attracted to you. But if you don't, then nobody will be. And of course, that's ridiculous, because the way that we experience attraction is so much more varied than that. And most of us are as attracted to people for their personality, or for the energy that they put out into the world.
That is absolutely correct. We've been talking to Rachel Hills, who is the author of The Sex Myth, The Gap Between Our Fantasies and Reality. And she's been helping us understand how to get through the unrealistic expectations of our sex life. Rachel, you've just done a bang-up job. We love it. Thanks for being on Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and stay well.